message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you joined us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a blessing and a help to you. We're going to look again at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, a passage we've already looked at just a little bit, but I'd like to go on and dig into it a little more today. You know, the Word of God is like a treasure mine. You just keep digging, and there's more and more and more to learn and study. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which has been committed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." There's been a deposit, a thing that's been committed to Timothy and to you and to me by the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ gives it to Paul. Paul gives it to us. In chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." And that's the chain of truth down through the ages. Christ gives the information to Paul. Paul gives it to Timothy. Timothy gives it to faithful men who teach others also, until it's come down to us today through the Word of God. God's preserved His Word and then taken it, and through the teaching ministry of the body of Christ has taught it out, teaches it out, and it spreads out. The church, the body of Christ, is the pillar and the ground of truth. And our purpose and our goal as we study together here on this Bible study time is to dig into the Word of God and get the truth. Because you see, it's truth that sets you free. It's not religion, and it's not a certain church or a certain denomination or a certain particular way of thinking with a catechism or a creed or a doctrinal statement. It's truth. "Thy word is truth," the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Lord told His disciples one time, He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's the issue. The Word of God is where the life of God is. It's where the Spirit of God works and operates. And if you want God's truth, and if you want the Spirit of God to operate in your life, then it'll be had through the written Word of God being stored up into your soul by you holding fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when he talks about the form of sound words, that word "sound" there, describing the word "sound words," that's the good thing that was committed to Timothy. That's sound in the sense, it's not like music sounds loud or sounds, so it's not talking about the volume of something. It's talking about, as back in Acts chapter 4, when Peter healed the lame man, and it said, he says that there was no soundness in him. That is, there was no health in him. He wasn't healthy. It's like we talk about this desk here is sound. It's sturdy. It's strong. Sound words are healthy, life-giving, health-producing words. Now, it's important that you understand that, because you can actually find that the Word of God can be less than spiritually profitable in your life. You know, the Bible is described as a sharp, two-edged sword. Now, if you know anything about a sharp knife or a sharp sword, you know that there's a certain way to handle that sword, and it can be a benefit to you. But you just go grab it anyway. Go grab it by the blade instead of by the handle, and you'll cut yourself. A sword is a weapon, and it can be very beneficial, and it can be very delivering, but it can also be very dangerous. Well, the Word of God is like that. If it's properly handled, if it's rightly divided, it's truth and it's liberating. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You rightly divide the Word of God and it's truth to you. But if you wrongly divide it, if you take it and you mishandle it, and don't handle it the way God says to handle it, it actually becomes dangerous. For example, in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15, 2 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "Account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." That is, there are some people who are unlearned. That doesn't mean that they can't read or write. It means they're not instructed in the Word of God properly. They haven't gotten into God's Word and come to understand how to handle the Word of God. And consequently, they rest. They twist. He says they are unlearned and unstable. They don't know the Word of God. They aren't grounded in the truth of God's Word. Consequently, their life is up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And they rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. They rest. They twist. That word rest, W-R-E-S-T, means to twist something. And actually it means to twist something violently. We have a word wrestle, W-R-E-S-T-L-E. And if you've ever seen anybody wrestle, and I'm not talking about wrestling like you see on the TV, you know, and the so-called professional wrestlers, but I'm talking about wrestling. I have two of my sons wrestle in high school athletics. And boy, you talk about something that is intense. Those minutes on that mat are total commitment of intensity. And also, you can see them just get all bent into all kind of figures. I've told my kids for years that, you know, they're going to come home with cauliflower ears from the way they get in these headlocks and so forth. But they'll be all twisted together. That's what happens to people. They do with the Word of God when they're unlearned and unstable. That is, they aren't instructed in how to rightly divide the Word of God. They don't approach it God's way. The result is you twist it. Unstable. Their life isn't stabilized and established. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to look in some verses and show you how to have your life established. And it's through the Word of God, but the Word of God approached in a very special way. If you don't approach the Word of God God's way, rightly divided, what happens is you rest, you twist the Scriptures unto their own destruction. You see, the Scripture can be dangerous to your Christian life. It can be dangerous to your spiritual health, especially the epistles of Paul. And that's what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter 3, is Paul's epistles. Twisting them and misusing them, not rightly dividing them, resulting in spiritual destruction. That doesn't have to do with dying and going to hell, that kind of thing. It's not that kind of destruction. It has to do with your Christian life, your spiritual life, just drying up and being confused and confusing and being unstable and being unlearned. Your Christian life is not designed to operate on the basis of ignorance. If you are unlearned, you are not equipped to function as a believer. You say, well, how do I know if I'm unstable and unlearned? Well, Hebrews chapter 5 will tell you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12, he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers," these people had they were old enough, they were in the thing long enough, they ought to be teachers, "you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." You need to go right back to kindergarten and learn your ABCs again. When you're old enough, chronologically, time-wise, you ought to be a teacher. But you need to be taught. "You are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." A baby needs milk. An adult, a mature person, can eat meat, strong meat. "For everyone that uses milk is," now here's the definition. Now you can plug yourself into this if it fits you. And you can say, God says this about me. "Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness," for he's a baby. To be unlearned is to be unskillful in the word of righteousness. Peter wasn't talking to people that couldn't read. He wasn't talking to people that didn't understand how to read and that kind of. He wrote them a book. He obviously expected them to read the book. When he talked about them being unlearned, he's talking about them not being instructed. They were not skillful in the word of righteousness because they were babies and they could just take the very little bitty simple things. And what happened is, like a baby, you ever watched a baby eat? A baby will just take anything. He doesn't discriminate between it. I mean, he'll take green beans and mix them in the sweet potatoes and put them over in the applesauce and try to chunk it all down. Now, I know, you know, when you eat your food, it's all mixed once it gets in your stomach, but most adults don't mix it all up on their plate. And that's the idea here. But strong meat belonged to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use, they've been using the Word of God. They know how to get into the Word of God, and they're skilled and learned in handling it. And thus they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So God's Word can bring health to you. They are sound words. They are health-giving words if you approach them correctly, if you approach them God's way. And I've said to you on this program time and again that as you approach the Word of God, you have to approach it God's way to get the profit out of it God put in it for you. To have the Word of God to be the sound words that God desires, the health-giving, life-giving, stabilizing words that God has given them for, you have to approach them God's way. And that's what Paul's saying in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Now I want you to understand, there is a form of sound words. That word form there is like a pattern. It's like if you go out and you're gonna pour some concrete and you'll lay a form out there in the shape that you want the concrete to settle in. And that's the form, that's the pattern of sound words. There is a pattern in the Word of God. Your Bible is designed according to a divine design and a divine pattern that if you will follow the pattern that God has placed in His Word, it will produce stability in your life. In fact, your Bible is so marvelously laid out that just the way God has caused it and to be preserved and collated together and preserved together, if you don't know anything about the design consciously, if you'll just read your Bible, the design will have its effect on you because the Bible is laid out according to the divine design. Many times we've studied together and I've showed you that in Ephesians chapter number 2 that Paul lays out the Word of God and God's dealings with men according to three time periods. Time past, then he talks about but now, where we are today in the dispensation of grace, and then he talks about the ages to come out here. And your Bible is laid out that way. And in time past, the basic characteristic is the distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. When that distinction is the way God deals with men, you know that you're in time past. But now it comes into effect when that distinction is done away with. Back here in time past, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel accounts of our Lord's earthly ministry, when he walked the earth back here, those books fit in time past back here. And there is a design in the way that God lays these accounts of our Lord's earthly ministry out in your Bible. You see, God Almighty doesn't give you one composite view of Christ. He doesn't give you one harmony. When I was in school many years ago, one of the classes that we had to take was called The Life of Christ, and they sought to harmonize the accounts of the life of Christ. If God had desired for you to have a harmony of the life of Christ, one continuous story, He'd have written it in the Word of God for you. The fact that He wrote four of them back here tells you that there are four different viewpoints, four different ways He wants you to view Christ. Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. Mark presents Him as the suffering servant of the Lord. Luke presents Him as the Son of Man. John presents Him as the Son of God. Messiah, He's Israel's King. Behold, I King. He's the servant. Behold, my servant. He's the man. The prophet says, behold, the man. He's your God. Behold, your God comes. Here is the picture and the record to demonstrate who Jesus Christ was. He was everything the prophets had said the Messiah would be. He was there and in all of the offices of Messiah. He was God manifest in the flesh, Jehovah God manifest in the flesh. He was the Son of Man. He was the servant of the Lord, and he's the King of Israel. Then you come, and your Bible is laid out that way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of Christ presents him that way. Then you have the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Christ dies at the end of the gospel accounts, is resurrected, ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes back on the day of Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, you have an account of the 12 apostles back over here are trained by Christ. They carry on their ministry out here. And then the fall of Israel takes place and salvation goes to the Gentiles. By the way, Romans chapter 15, verse number 8, tells you what's going on in those books. I say that Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that's exactly what he does. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 11, tells you what's going on in the book of Acts. Paul says, have they stumbled that they should fall? Did they stumble here? Yes. Did they fall? No. Jesus Christ prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the nation of Israel doesn't fall at Calvary. They get a renewed opportunity of repentance in early Acts. And yet there comes a place, he says, have they stumbled that they should fall? No. God forbid. But rather through the fall of Israel. Then they do fall. You see in the book of Acts, you see the opportunity, a renewed opportunity of repentance extended to the nation of Israel. And then you see the nation of Israel fall and diminish away. And in Romans, he says that through the fall of Israel, salvation is going to the Gentiles, but it doesn't go to the Gentiles through the prophetic program, which had to do with Jesus Christ coming back out over here in the ages to come and setting up his kingdom out over here after the tribulation period. You don't have him doing that. What you have is salvation going to the Gentiles through the fall of Israel. That is, Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reaches down, says, Saul of Tarsus, and communicates to Saul, makes him Paul the apostle, and sends him out with a new system of knowledge and information called the mystery. And this has to do in here with the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. Just like he's got some books back here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to demonstrate our Lord's earthly ministry, just like the book of Acts demonstrates the fall of Israel and salvation going to the Gentiles, so it is that in Paul's epistles over here, Romans through Philemon in here, you have the doctrine for us today. The way God's dealing with us today. Now, the form of sound words. Get a hold of it. Understand what you're doing when you're reading through the books. Get the form, the design of it, and you'll see the spiritual progression going through here. Romans through Philemon, the Pauline epistles, the epistles of the Apostle Paul that describe what God's doing today. Now, before we go on with them, when Paul says here, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, he's talking about his epistles in here, Romans to Philemon. There is a form, a design, just like there's a design back here. You can go back into the Old Testament and you can understand from the Old Testament scripture why there are four pictures of Christ, just like there are the four living creatures around the throne of God with four different faces, the face of each face matching one of the four Gospels, just like there are four times the prophets back there talked to Israel about, behold your king, behold my servant, behold the man, behold your God comes. Just like there are four branch titles for Christ back here. All this fits the pattern of what the Old Testament said would come. So it is that Paul's epistles fit a spiritual design for your edification. Everything done in Paul's epistles in here is designed for your stability, to take and build spiritual stability and truth and life into the believer today. To have the life of Jesus Christ that's been given to us when we trust Him, to have that life be able to be the thing that takes over. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. But Jesus Christ living in you, He wants to live His life through you, and the only way that that can be accomplished is as you by faith rest in the Word of God to you. Paul says that you received, when you heard the Word of God, which was preached of me, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God that effectually works in you that believe. The empowerment for the believer today is through the Word of God. And as you take that Word and that hold fast to that form of sound doctrine, that form of sound words, I want you to see the form, the design. Come with me to Romans chapter number 16. There is a form and a design in which these epistles of Paul are laid out, and it is a design for the edification of the believer, for your spiritual edification, for your stabilizing. Romans 16:25. Now to him that's of power to establish you. And that's what you want. That's what that verse in Timothy and Peter was talking about. They were unlearned and unstable. Here's how you become intelligized and stabilized. Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's a foundation going to be laid in here. And that foundation's going to be my gospel. I need some room up here to put it, I guess. You're going to have a foundation. That foundation is going to be my gospel, Paul says. The gospel committed to Paul, it's my gospel. It isn't the gospel Christ preached back here. It's not the gospel Peter preached in here. It's the gospel Jesus Christ gave to Paul for the dispensation of grace in here. It's my gospel, and the gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. This in the dispensation of grace. Then on top of that, he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's the mystery program. What is God? Here's how you get saved, you get justified, you become members of the body of Christ. Here's information about where that body of Christ is going to lead you and what the program is. Romans is a book of doctrine about my gospel. The next book of doctrine is the book of Ephesians about the dispensation of grace and the agency and the program he's forming in the body of Christ. Then he says, talks about the in Romans 16 there, he talks about the scriptures of the prophet according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations through the obedience of faith. That's sort of like putting the roof on the house. And that next doctrinal book is Thessalonians in here. There's doctrine, 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 books of doctrine in here, teaching to instruct you in the design. First, you have to be oriented to God's grace. If you don't understand some things about grace, folks, you'll never get established. You have to get your feet firmly established in the truth of grace. Over there in that arm in Ephesians 6, he says that soldier has his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That is an understanding, an intelligent understanding of what grace is. And that's what these books here, Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians, are written to do. They're written to establish you in the truth of my gospel. Then you have to move on from there into the issue that in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 6, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Back here before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose over here to form the body of Christ. He promised to do some things over here based upon the gospel message of Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And the book of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians identify for you that information. And they bring you into an understanding of that program. God Almighty formed you, saved us, made us members of the body of Christ, equipped us to live on planet Earth by His grace in here, but we're doing it for His glory. And to understand the glory and the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to understand that you have to move on into this doctrinal understanding up here about the fullness, move from the foundation to the fullness of what God's purpose is. How that in the ages to come out there, He's going to use the body of Christ to do some marvelous and wonderful and fantastic things. And we'll study about that next week. You don't want to fail to get a hold of these things. And then there's the last doctrinal book is Thessalonians over there. And Thessalonians looks out here. You've got the foundation. You've got an understanding of the agency. And now you're going to see how it relates to the rest of the Word of God over here because you've got the scriptures of the prophets. That is, All that God's doing is one whole purpose. Then after Thessalonians, there's Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, and those books over there. Romans deals with the foundation. Corinthians and Galatians deal with the doctrine in Romans. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians deal with the fullness of what God's doing today. Thessalonians deals with the future. And Timothy, Titus, and Philemon deal with the fruit on planet Earth of this program right now. It has to do with the handbooks for the local church in here. What you've got in Paul's epistles, you have a design and a progressive design of spiritual understanding and a spiritual progression through there that brings you from the baby status of being a believing Roman all the way you go through being a carnal Corinthian and a foolish Galatian, then you become a faithful Ephesian and an obedient Philippian and a loving Colossian and an expectant Thessalonian. You just go right through to maturity over here, and then you have instructions about how to live in the house and how to function in the family as family members working one with another. When you get all that information, you know what you've got? You've got spiritual maturity. You won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You won't be up one day and down the next and over the next and around the stump the next. What you'll have is you'll have a doctrinal understanding in your soul that allows you to stand with both feet firmly fixed in the truth of what God has accomplished for you and for me and for Himself through the cross work of Jesus Christ. You'll understand what it means to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, to be complete in Christ, and to come behind in no gift. And instead of running around looking for experiences and looking for ways to be closer to God and looking for ways to have God bless you and do more for you and answer your prayers more effectively and all the rest, you'll be able to function day by day, moment by moment, in your life, in the circumstances you find yourself in, as just who you are, and that's a member of the church, the body of Christ. That is, one in whom Jesus Christ lives and through whom He lives His life, intelligently operating on the basis of who you really are, your real, true identity as a new creature in Christ Jesus. That only comes into your life, not by sitting on the couch wishing for it, but by getting the information in Paul's epistles built up in your soul, and not getting it just piecemeal, willy-nilly, anywhere, but getting it according to the design that He's laid out for you in His Word. The form of sound words, hold them fast, learn them, store them up in your soul, and then by faith rest upon them and see God's Word do its work. The racing red hand on the face of the studio clock tells me it's almost time for us to go off the air today. Let me offer you a free Bible study tape. We can only spend a few minutes together. There's hours of study you need to do. We want to help you in it. We want to give you something that'll be of benefit to you. Our announcer is going to come in just a minute and give you our address and phone number and offer you a free tape. Let me encourage you to call or to write for it. And study for yourself. Search and see. Don't take it from me. Get in the Word of God and find out for yourself what God has to say. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ personally, relied exclusively upon what He did for you at Calvary, do that today. And pass from death unto life. Have all of your sins forgiven through His blood shed at Calvary, and then have His life given to you as a free gift. It's a wonderful thing to know you're saved. I trust you'll do that today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Paul's Pattern for Perfecting Saints. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 213. That's tape offer number 213. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.